All right, and welcome to another, I guess, chat or episode or whatever you want to call it, game chat. So it's Chris, and yeah, it's going to be a very laid-back episode or chat of game chat since Steph isn't here, and it's just the three of us. So, this week for June 18th, we are playing Stories Untold from No Code Studios, which has been published by Devolver Digital. This was released on PC and Mac and came out in 2017. So just to give you a little synopsis here, Stories Untold is a narrative-driven experimental adventure game that blends the genre into something completely unique, combining a mix of classic text adventure, point and click, and more. Four short stories are packaged together into a single mysterious anthology that has been described as fantastic, fascinating example of interactive visual storytelling, which was The Telegraph, who gave it a 5 out of 5, and earned widespread critical acclaim since release. Okay, so now that that mouthful is out, or done, the intro question this week is, what retro piece of technology do you miss the most or the least? And again, keeping with tradition, let's start with Franco.
Yo, it's Franco. Good question. I was warmed to see the microfiche machine, knowing that I had to, you know, I've had to use them in my salad days, as they say. Although in the game, I didn't realize I had the focus and the zoom knobs on it until like the second puzzle. It's like, now I can read it. I was like squinting at it, holding up the laptop to my,
yeah, I found the focus, but I'm like, there has to be a zoom.
Right.
And then finally found the zoom knob.
And then the knob to actually move the page around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice those at first. They were a little bit small and
obscure.
In your face.
So yours is the microfiche?
Yeah, the microfiche. And actually, fun story. My first job at a bank, I actually got to make microfiche.
Oh, it sounds actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, this was out of like 8 actually data tapes. I would mount a data tape that I have like checks.
Yep.
And it would actually, you'd load a blank cassette and it would actually spool out, you know, and print the microfiche with the check data on it.
So was it like a normal film that you had to develop, or did it just imprint it onto the tape?
I'm guessing it did was all internal. It was like you mounted the cassette on one end and at the other end, and you put some chemicals in.
Okay,
so must have been some developing going on.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Next.
This is Kevin, and let's see here. I wasn't around when Makerfiche was more of a thing. Cannabis viewfinders still being kind of active, especially like when they had some of the cool things that were like 3D pictures and stuff.
Yeah, nice.
We still have ours, but we had like some that were like Peanuts 3D models. Like Brown and the gang, and they were like 3D because of how they did the images and stuff, and it was really cool.
All right, well, this is Chris, as I said before. Trying to think, you know, I would say like the Nintendo or something like that, but I mean that stuff is still around, and I still have a bunch of games and all that stuff. So I don't really can't say that I missed that because I have readily available. I'm trying to think, like, what would I guess the technology I least miss would probably be VCRs.
That thing that you can't set the clock on.
Yeah. And, you know, like, you don't have to rewind tapes anymore if you rent anything or if you want to rewatch the video or movie, I should say, which is nice. So, yeah. So, yeah, as I said at the beginning, the Stories Untold is broken up into four different chapters. And from what I can gather, it seems like they were released as they were developing them. As what it looked like as you were playing them and with the credits rolling and stuff like that, it seemed like it was released episodically. So the first chapter was The House Abandoned, which was pretty much a straight up text adventure on some Atari system.
Juro.
Yes. So
128K, 26. I can't read the number.
Probably 128 in the numbers.
Yeah. But yeah, this one was strictly it, and it was nice too because it was a text adventure, but it had like modern day graphics. So you were basically sitting at a desk looking at a monitor with the like Atari computer next to you and the keyboard and everything. So you were typing through the monitor, but you had like all the modern day graphics in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of it was interesting because it was both old school and new school. And yeah. So
was it, yeah, and it added to the suspense. I mean, with the stuff that was going on in that episode.
Yeah.
You know, with the stuff going on behind you as you perceive it, you know.
Yeah, because you know, as you're typing in like your commands and everything, you're hearing the noises of what you're kind of saying you want to do in the game. So like I think it was you know, you get out of your car and you hear a car door close or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say go upstairs and you hear somebody walking up the stairs behind you.
And that was very
yeah, that was
Lovecraftian.
Yeah. Like open the door and then like the door behind you opens
and it's like, what is going on?
It seemed like there was a faint like silhouette of a person, but I wasn't exactly sure.
Yeah. So I will say that I bought Stories Untold, I think, last year. And I can't remember if it was at the recommendation of Madeline or if it was just on sale and it came up on my recommendations and it looked interesting. So I bought it and I played the first episode and I stopped playing it because I was like, this is a good game that we should play for game chat. And kept recommending it and no one seemed to want to pick up on it. So kind of it just got thrown in my backlog of games and didn't get to pick it up. And then, you know, Steph's like, hey, I'm gone for 2 weeks. And I'm like, hey, here's a short game that we can play to fill the time. And people seem to be on board and then no one shows up. So.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
My game and you're going to play it.
I enjoyed, I'll go, you know, not to score it, but I enjoyed 3.8% of the episodes. I enjoyed 3.8 of them. But we'll get into that.
To the
chapters.
So, yeah, I mean, there really wasn't too much going on with the first chapter because it was just strictly a text adventure. And that's all it was. I from my memory, it did feel a little short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first one, Yeah, the first chapter.
Yeah.
And you're kind of repeating yourself.
Yeah, look around.
Yeah.
Look at, go.
Yeah. You know. So then the second chapter is called the lab conduct. So basically, now this one, you are both, this one was really kind of interesting and what really started to draw me into the game itself, because you're both interacting with a computer terminal, and then you're also, moving to another section of the room that has different lab equipment, and you have to, so basically on the terminal, someone's speaking to you through a speaker, and they're telling you, look on your terminal, there's a manual that gets you familiar with the equipment in the room, and then we'll send you experiments that you have to do, and then follow the instructions that are on the screen from there. So basically the instructions come through that tell you, that give you the perimeters to do the specific experiment. So like the first experiment is to do an X-ray. So you have to set the monitor correctly. You have to charge the X-ray machine. Basically stuff like that. And then the next one is a laser. So you have to, set the proper wavelength and the frequency. And then you have to do a acoustic resonance. So it's the proper sign, the proper wave and the frequency and all that stuff. So, yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of interactivity with that. And then go ahead.
I was going to say, it was neat because you had to have only the equipment you needed on. If you had extra material, extra equipment on, if you couldn't just turn everything on.
Yeah.
It wouldn't let you engage in the piece of equipment. So it's like you only had to have what you needed on. So, you know, if you were doing the X-ray, it only could be the monitor, the X-ray machine, and then only then would the light light up green to take the X-ray.
And then, like, with the laser and the acoustic resonance, they had to be at the specific perimeter. Well, actually, no. The laser didn't, but the, like, acoustic resonance had to be at the specific frequencies and everything for the button to become active.
Yeah, and then they had the amplitude thing, which
wasn't
really used much. Like, especially at the first time, it only needed to be at one, and you didn't have to use it at all. You basically just had to make sure it was on.
Yeah.
Later on, you had to go and turn it all the way up to 10.
But, yep.
Like,
yeah.
And then by that point, there's this orb that comes out that ends up like scanning you and links up to you, which was really kind of weird. So then,
was it in the heart? Was it behind the heart?
Well, yeah, it was. That's what it insinuated. Well, his dream, he thought he. I mean, well, oops, spoiler. It starts as a heart and then becomes this orb.
Yeah, because like the heart ends up exploding
when you put the drill on it, I think.
Yeah.
No, you frequency it to death.
Oh, yeah. When you're you're right. You're right.
And then you drill it to open the box up.
You just drill into, you don't really drill into anything, at least nothing that you can visually see. Yeah, I think the orb might be there, but you can't really see it that well because of the fact that there's just blood all over the camera.
Yeah. So then this orb comes out and kind of links to your mind. So then like you focus on the orb and it then links to the terminal, and then you have a you then have a text adventure there. So it's like you're basically interfacing with the memories that the orb has that appears to be like some alien crash. So it's like you have to kind of find your way outside of the spacecraft. But then there's something that like you end up linking to someone in the facility.
Or another, it seems like either another person or another entity or something.
You link to another person that was to the other being alien thing that was in the crash.
Yeah, that's in the facility that's then like being freed and walking around the facility. And then there's more orbs that show up. And then it pretty much ends from there.
Orbs show up and they're like, you're going to be sorry for doing this. And then it ends.
Yeah, that was the end of the chapter. That cipher, or the, I don't know if you would call it a rune or the matching ciphers. Okay. Yeah, that was kind of like, I didn't realize you had to focus on the eye and it would show you, you know, fragments of what was correct. And I was like, oh God, this is tough.
Oh, is that what that was? I just looked at a walkthrough at that point. I was having such a brain block with trying to interface with the computer,
right?
Through the text adventure, because it's like I kept walking up to the terminal, and I'm like, all right, what is the chain of words that it wants me to use in order to interact with this computer? And then, of course, it's use computer. And I just could not think of the words for that. And then I just scrolled down a little bit further on the walkthrough, and it had the picture of the runes that you needed. All right, I'm just going to do that just to get this over.
Yeah, because it took me a good 10 minutes of squinting to like, because it all
suggestions. Like, how did you figure out which runes to use?
It sort of showed if you focused on the orb, like if you put your mouse over the orb and right clicked on it, it's sort of like you could sort of fuzziness and see. There's probably a video of it, but you know, and then you see, and it's you don't get the whole rune. See, the picture of the rune, you only get like either the top half or the bottom half. So you sort of like process of elimination. What went with what? It took me a good 10 minutes.
Okay, because, I was using a guide for achievement purposes or whatever. So I was how do you actually, how are you actually supposed to do this? Because, and it sort of seemed like for the most part, it was like rune 1, rune 2, rune 3, rune 4.
but it was, left side, right side. So you knew what the left side looks like, and then you had to match up the corresponding right side rune that went with it. But that one was kind of a little obtuse, but it was an interesting little, get to fidget with the instruments. The only thing is just the mechanic to raise and lower levels was kind of clumsy with the mouse. I didn't get exactly what I should be doing with that till later.
Yeah, that was annoying too, because you couldn't really be exact on that. Mm-hmm. I much rather would have just liked to have clicked and rotate my mouse, clicked and drag up or down.
The
knob.
The knob. Oh, that got so annoying with the microfiche, because you couldn't just manually just go and make sure that it was they should have allowed you to just straight up rotate that by 90 degree angles for the when it came to the microfiche.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But not even the microfiche, but just the
Radio knobs.
The radio.
Yeah, the radio knobs were It got annoying when you had to get to
the next section. Yeah, so speaking of the radio knobs, so in Chapter 3, which is the station process, similar in vein to Firewatch, you're in a station outpost talking to, well, you're not really talking to other people, but there are two other stations that you're or outposts you're in communication with, and obviously your microphone isn't working, but you can clearly hear everyone else. So as we've been talking, you have access to a microfiche that has instructions for you to follow. And then you also have a radio. So basically a station 2 will broadcast the station you need to tune to. So on your radio, you'll tune to that station. It'll be like a number station, which you then input on your computer terminal, which then gives you the
keyword
or the what's another word for that? The
mnemonic?
No, not the mnemonic, but the like the mission ID, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you go over to the microfiche, you look up the code and what the command is that you need to input. So there's three commands that you need to type out, which are basically like computer commands. So you go back over to your computer terminal, enter in the commands. It does something that no one knows what it does, and once you input the commands, like the two people get on the radio and they're like, "What is this even doing?" And they're all like, we don't know, but you know, it's doing something to help people. So,
right.
And then as you progress through, there are some where there's like variables that you need to like go through.
Correct. Yeah,
which is like.
This is where the game really get, for me, at least juicy. I started really enjoying this part.
Yeah, this is like, for me, where I really started to enjoy the game because it was just really kind of, like, there was just so much interactivity and just so much that you needed to, like, pour into to
problem solving.
Yeah, basically. The one thing that I, like, completely gave up on, though, was there was one station where it was just all in Morse code.
I lucked out and got the Morse code right.
And I was just like, I'm not even going to attempt to try and translate this. So just let me look through the walkthrough and pull up what
this code. Did you know that there was the thing that told you how what the Morse
code was? I saw it on the microfiche, but it was just like, I'm not even going to even attempt to try and decode it because it's just I don't have the patience for
I did get a newfound respect for people who can decode Morse code on the fly. Those signals were not, I don't want to say clear, but definitive. So it was like, you know, it's like, I'm guessing this is the dot and this is the, you know, this is the dash.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's like.
For me, it was going way too fast.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. And don't you not know that there's the zero in the beginning?
Well, that's the beginning. Yes, basically that tone is the beginning, a BOM, a beginning of message. Like this is where the message starts.
Okay, because like the first one, it's like zero. I'm like, how are you supposed to know that it's a zero? Because isn't zero nothing?
Yeah, but it's sort of like you have to all that kind of coded entries and stuff. Even like the number stations, you have to indicate when this is the beginning. So because it repeats over and over and over again, so you have to know where. The beginning is.
Hmm. Yeah, so everyone's gone to the rapture, the number of stations had that beeping too.
Yeah, it was pretty fast. The only thing I had to look up was the references to the first message.
Oh, yeah.
The second message on, I wrote everything down.
I know. I read that and I'm like, of course you are going to have a puzzle referencing to the first one that no one wrote down.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Oh, where you had to go and repeat the things. Yeah.
The highest number from the first message, the lowest number from the first message.
Oh, like, the one thing that really got me was, I'm trying to remember, I think it was in the first one or whatever, where they end up saying all the words, but then you have to turn the words into numbers.
Oh, the numbers? Yeah.
So you have like Zulu, which is Z, and then I guess you have to go to another chart, which is the
on the microfiche.
And then you had to go to the correct frequency number to get that correct number for the thing, and then would have to go over to it. I didn't actually use that. I was using the guide, and there's no way that I was actually going to do that.
Yeah,
no way.
The funny part was I didn't I was screwing up a lot of the commands because I didn't know about the zoom.
Oh, I know.
Focus, and I was mistyping E's and O's and stuff. It's like, okay. That's what it says.
Yeah, so everything was
and even out. Then it still was a little bit fuzzy.
Yeah, because everything was printed out on the basically the system font, so it's very like really basic old computer text, but it was fuzzy computer text, so it was hard to differentiate between an E and an A and like an S and a zero type of thing. So it was a lot of guessing if you couldn't see where the zoom and the focus was, and even if you did find where that was, it was still kind of hard to find, hard to see what exactly was written on a few of the letters. So as you're going along, station one goes down, and he's saying that, he tells everyone to, you know, lock the doors because they're here.
Right out of the thing.
Yeah. As you're progressing too, you hear a thump on the roof of your station.
Yeah.
And then these other stations start talking to you, basically telling you, it's like, do not go outside and everything.
As we get to the end, it's just interesting.
And the funny thing is, it's like, you know, you're scrolling through all of the different missions or whatever they're called, and like I keep seeing one that says sacrifice, and I'm like, I wrote that down.
That was interesting because that was the only one you got a mission for, was sacrifice.
Yeah, because I was like, I really hope that I don't have to use that one, but I have a feeling that we're going to have to use that one. And of course. Like the very last one that you have to input is sacrifice.
Yep.
And as you input that in, it goes through like a transmitting, and then it says transmitting codes, and I'm like, oh god, what does that mean? Because I was like, is that like missile launch codes, or is that like?
Well, yeah, a couple times it says missiles are launched.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what are we doing here? Is this like we went from a weather station to a, NORAD station?
Yeah. So then as it's doing its like checklist thing, it says transmission failed. So you're then told that you need to go outside because the wind probably knocked the antenna off position. So you go outside and you have to go down the trail. You have to turn on a couple generators and then flip some switches, and then basically just loud foghorn starts going off. And then you start hearing like a doctor talk to you saying it's like, oh, he's coming to and stuff like that. And then you go back to your station there and the chapter ends.
Yeah, the interesting, I wrote them down. the missions you didn't use but had pages in the microfiche were home, sacrifice we used, drive, sibling, and Jennifer.
Oh.
Wait, you didn't use what?
You didn't use home. These were all missing mission pages on the microfiche you didn't use, but I scrolled through them all. And then all of a sudden, once you got the sac, I think that's why they gave you sacrifice, because that's when you start seeing these other ones. It was home.
I don't think we used like orange and centaur and
Sigma. Centaur we used, because believe it or not, I wrote them all down.
Portfolio?
Nope. Chevron and Kansas were the other codes.
Yeah.
So, but it was home, drive, sibling, Jennifer, and that's when I started to get, what's this really about? go ahead.
So then chapter 4.
With the previous chapter, I don't know what one of them was in. It sounded like it was in French or something, or German. I would have to like look it up to see if anybody has translated it. But on one of the radio stations, because I was scrolling through with the radio still on, and it was on the FM. And on one of the radio stations, I ended up picking up an emergency thing that talked about New York and them being like the people that were the same people, beings, aliens that were on that ended up coming on the roof of your building. And talk about them invading New York and doing something saying like they basically took them over or whatever.
Oh, jeez.
And also one thing I noticed that you that makes sense now is when you're walking back, you end up walking past let me see if I can get the screenshot of it. You end up walking past two cars, and one of them's one of them has the light blinking.
Yeah, once you fix the whatever you had to fix on your way back off to the right, there's two crashed cars.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I noticed it, but I didn't know the significance of it till we got to the last.
Yeah,
there it is.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll come back to the significance of 20F, the distress signal from 20F.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So chapter 4,
last session,
you are
in the intro.
Yes, so you start at the intro, and then all of a sudden it stops, and I'm like, oh good, because I don't want to sit through this intro again. It stops and they're like, all right, that's enough of that. And I'm like, thank you.
Exactly.
You know, I want to watch my 80 tape with very modern text design.
And then you hear a doctor's voice and it's like, all right, you've watched that enough. Now let's take you back to the observation room, and I'm like, wait,
and then what? The game ends.
Yeah. So then you're basically told once you're ready to hit the record button on the tape recorder, and it's like, okay, what is going on here? So then from there, you're back at the house with the text adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going through, and basically there's this, I'm assuming a New Year's Eve party.
Wait, do you start out with the text adventure? Do you start out with the, no, I think you start off with the radio, the,
Yeah, that's right. You start off at the radio, station.
Again.
And, you go to the,
You find out that you've been in a coma.
Yeah. So, you know, there's another radio station you need to go to get the broadcast, to get the code. And then you go to the microfiche and there's a police report. You enter that information in. I can't remember what happens after that. From there, do you then go
back to the hospital?
Let me pull up the gallery.
Oh, no. Or you go back to the emergency room.
Yeah, you go back to the emergency room.
You flash back to the emergency room, yeah, which is an exact copy of the lab from...
So chapter two. So you have to do... you have to charge the paddles, basically, to restart your heart.
Well, first you do the whole...
Do the x-ray. Yeah.
Yeah, x-ray every head.
First is all the tape hunt where you hear all the police tapes.
Oh, yeah. Was that or was that after all of that?
No, you do the radio station report and then you go and get all the police tapes.
Okay.
Of the recorded conversations from...
That's right. And then you're in the ER. And you're doing
You're in the ER.
Yeah, and then you're doing the x-rays.
On your own self?
Yeah, on your own self. You're doing the chest paddles to restart your heart, and then you're doing the drill to release the pressure in your brain.
And that's then, when you do the drill, that's when you go back to the house, isn't it?
Yeah, you go back to the house. Yeah. And you're back at the text adventure. Yeah. It's basically a New Year's Eve party. You're walking around through the house. You end up in the utility room because basically, I guess you're going on a trip.
Yeah, you're leaving for America. I think. Yes.
New York.
New York. Yep.
Right.
You find a bottle of whiskey that your father has gifted you.
It's the foreshadowing in the first chapter. There's a room that you couldn't get to in the computer, text adventure, and you couldn't get to it. Every time you tried to get to it, it says you don't want to go there or something like that.
That's where the dad's utility room where they keep all the good liquor in the utility room.
Yeah. So from there, you're walking around. You don't really want to be there because you don't like large crowds or whatever. And then you go back to the hallway and you see your sister all covered in blood and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything kind of goes back to normal. Yeah. And your sister wants a ride back home. So you agree to take her. But you're obviously drunk at that point because you started drinking the whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And you're driving, end up getting in an accident. And so you crawl out of the car. You're still clutching the bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
Right. All this has to be, you have to do this through computer text commands.
It's all typing this in too.
And the same thing had happened earlier on with the alien orb, but with their spaceship or whatever.
So then you don't want to be arrested, so you take the bottle of whiskey, dump some on the guy, and throw the bottle in the other car. And then that's where it kind of
comes back to the observation room and sort of like, yeah.
And then basically it's like, all right, we're going to tell the police and you're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
Yeah. So that's where this chapter is where, I mean, things were going so great.
This chapter, it goes on a lot longer than what we've said. It's just, like, there's a lot of walking around and everything. The chapter kind of turns more into like a walking simulator at this point, and it kind of goes back and touches upon the other chapters and stuff you've done. But yeah, like, not a lot happens in this chapter, and it kind of, I'll save it for scoring at the end. So
yeah, it's a lot of things come back to you and on you, so to speak. And it's a little, and the last, you know, the kicking, the end sequence, the thing that kicks off the end sequence is I couldn't figure out exactly what to tell it to do. I was 10 minutes in and I'm like, all right, surely this thing doesn't autosave. So I'm going to quit out of the game and go look it up. It doesn't do an autosave. I had to replay the entire chapter from scratch. So I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
What was the part you were having trouble with?
Put whiskey in car.
Oh, yeah, because I was like, because it said the other car, and I was like, put whiskey in other car, and it's like, oh, I can't do that.
Right.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
And it's like, what are you talking about? And it's like the police are coming. Like, so then I'm like, all right, fine. Put whiskey in blue car, and then it worked. Right. And I'm like, because I'm like, drop whiskey, like throw yep. drink whiskey. He's like, oh, I can't do that. I'm like, help Jen. Oh, there's no time for that. The police are coming.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we got a whole whiskey story. In
other car. It's like, we can't, like, that's not going to work. And I'm like, because it referred to the car that was in the accident as the other car and the blue car.
Yes.
But it didn't like the other car. When you try to refer to it as that.
It was very difficult to do things in your own car. It's like, yeah, I wanted to like open door and it says, which car?
Yeah.
I would say, my car. And it says, I don't know what that means. And it's like, sorry. My car. I want to open up the door. My car.
Since I knew what was coming, I basically did whatever I could in the house to stall and just to see what I could do. One thing I found was funny was, they don't mention this when you're actually like looking around at the stuff, but you can go into, the backyard and you know that there's a generator there because you've been having to turn the generator on and off like two times already. Right. So if you go up to the generator, what do you do? It basically is like, oh, it'd be hilarious to actually turn off the generator and everybody would be in the dark, but you think better of it. It's like, oh, man.
It was funny. Afterwards, after I finished, I read a couple things about the endings and stuff. And one guy was saying, oh, yeah, I tried to, just for fun, to drink every opportunity they would let me drink at the party. And it's like people were if on the computer, they were saying like the dad was getting annoyed at you, the mom was getting annoyed at you, the sister was getting annoyed at you, but you still end up taking her, you know, driving her. Like you're drinking at every opportunity, you know.
So you could get completely plastered on top of the whiskey
that you drank, that, you know, the game makes you drink. I mean, there's no, it's a fait accompli. There's no getting out of it. You know, you try all you want, but it's going
to
happen.
You don't even tell him to drink it. You just pick up the bottle. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you go and take a swig. It's like, I didn't tell you to do that.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Exactly. And it's just, you know, it's going to happen. Which goes into the ending. It's like, you know, where some of this stuff kind of like a little bit falls apart at the end. So,
do we want to get into any of these questions at all, or do we want to?
What do we got here?
Questions. Where are the questions?
Favorite puzzles was definitely the station process.
Yeah,
most difficult was easily the Morris code because it was wasn't distinct. You know, it was like, and it's like, was that four or five? But there was only like five or three on the chart, so it's like, well, it's got to be five, you know.
I kind of like the text adventure stuff, like even though it was a little bit annoying with some of the commands, just some of the dialogue and interactions and stuff from that part were really funny.
Yeah.
How do you? How well do you feel the game communicated the overarching story of the game? Did an interesting job of disguising it at first. Like, what's going on?
Yep.
You know,
by chapter three, I'd already figured out that you were in a coma. I didn't know like why you were in a coma, but I noticed the writing, and I'm like, that says Central Operations Message Authentication. And if you take all the capital letters of
words, it's coma.
It says coma.
Oh my God. I missed that totally. Oh my God.
It's like, didn't they do this in what game was all the emails in Dead Space tell you that your girlfriend's already dead. Spoiler. Sorry, guys.
I played it. That's all right. I'm good.
We haven't, but...
At what point do you realize that there was more going on?
Probably chapter three.
Yeah. Well, no,
by the end of chapter four.
Well, at the end of that, you know, chapter one, you pretty much know something bad happened to your sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, that's the one thing. And then... That really sort of goes away between, you know, the lab contact and the conduct and the station process. You're like, okay, we're flashing forward. I'm working at a lab. So, yeah.
When I was playing it, though, it's like I didn't really think that one and two were really connected, though. Because I was thinking that it was more of just vignettes of these little stories that they were creating.
Right. You didn't even think they were the same person.
Yeah, I didn't even think that they were connected. Yeah. I thought they were just like kind of like Twilight Zone type of thing. Yeah.
Gotcha. I think it was. Ends up at the beginning saying. I'm trying to remember what the title says. It's like four stories, one nightmare, or something like that, or
four
nightmares, one experience, something like that.
Okay.
I mean, for those listening, you come to the realization of what happened when you get to the police report. It's like, it's all, you know, it's all pretty much spelled out, you know.
Locked out parts.
Yeah, that he has to admit to for us to get to the end of the game. But in the police report, it's insinuated that the driver of the other car, because they found the whiskey bottle in his car, that he was responsible.
Yeah, and they said that there's whiskey on his breath.
Right, which we'll get, but in my summary, it's like, well, if they didn't have blood alcohol tests back then, or they just sort of conveniently...
Did they in the 80s?
80s, yeah, they had blood alcohol tests, yeah.
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 All right, I guess for the last question here, do you feel like telling the story in the jumbled way the game did was effective?
Yes. Effective and interesting are two different.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an interesting way to tell it.
Yeah. I've seen like this done before. Whether or not it was effective, I think my problem is it's a story that we've all seen and heard before in fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it was something other than a drunk driver aspect type of thing, like the guy dealing with his guilt of like essentially killing his sister and framing the other guy from doing it type of thing. For me, at least, kind of took the wind out of its sails a little bit. I think if it was a different story other than dealing with alcohol or drugs, that it might have had more weight and more impact, that it would have been different. But I think because they chose to do this narrative, to me at least, it felt a little flat.
Yeah. I looked at it because it reminded me of a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
it would be, this would be a Twilight Zone. Well, yeah, you know, the twister at the end is, you know, he was the cause of the, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
So very interesting little, all the, you know, and you go back and look, all the little hints were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of wish that it was about alien orb things taking over the world. That was so cool, because I thought it was like the alien orbs had basically started taking over people's bodies, and like they basically just made like super beings that were like going and crawling on top of the place that you're in, and like
they definitely
doing stuff. But then you find out that like that's basically like you being thrown out of the thing was basically just a more of like you getting like jostled by the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think the orb was the emergency room light. You know, the light they put over you.
Yeah.
In the emergency room. That's probably what that. I think that's what that was. But I mean, I guess. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think some of it was supposed to be like. Like a combination of police lights and emergency room lights and everything.
Yeah, that's where we're talking about it. I was like, I made a couple quick notes. I guess 20F, the distress signal, that's probably you. In the radio station. That's probably, you know, your subconscious saying, you know.
Or
20F being the accident report. But I mean, the guy that there's a radio station.
And your sister.
Could be, yeah. Well, it was a guy's voice on the distress signal.
Oh, yeah.
But like, so that's what I'm thinking. It's more of his subconscious trying to, you know, give him a just, you know, I don't know. Just, and then obviously the two. That's when things start to, you know, you see the accident report and
because the accident report says victim 20F.
Yeah, that's the name. The standard form for the report is 20F.
Oh, I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be that your sister was 20 and female years. Female, or if it was 20F, as in.
Yeah, it was just a form number, you know.
Oh, okay.
20 or a code for what the incident was. 20 fatality. You know, it's auto accidents fatality with a fatality involved. Maybe I'm not sure, but.
All right, so should we get to scoring?
Certainly.
All right. Since there's so few of us this week,
yeah.
Go from the top.
Interesting game. I really loved. Had good, great story. Really got you involved. Interesting mechanics and the. The puzzle solving was really good in the middle. The text, I used to play text-based computer games, and they could have used a little more definitive, you know.
Verbiage
and what you could and couldn't say. It sort of just lets you on your own on that. Just give you some hints, but really didn't say definitively, like, you know, go north, go east, go south, go west. Either you can go to a room, but you can only go to an adjacent room. You can't go to, you know, you have to remember where you were, you know, or you had to repeat the command. Look around. Where am I? You know, you're in the hallway. Okay. Which means I can go to the kitchen or I can go to the living room or upstairs.
Yeah. And also the figuring out how to get to the back of the house was annoying.
Yes. So the what really, I mean, and then, you know, you get sort of like the big reveal at the end of the third chapter that, you know, there was a fatal car accident. Your sister was killed. And at that point, you sort of think the guy's maybe feeling guilty that it was a reason for all of them. Maybe he wasn't, you know, stuff like that. But then that's the big reveal in the fourth chapter that you were responsible. You were definitely, you know, the responsible party. But, sort of like forced a couple things at that ending chapter that sort of put a damper on it a little bit was, you know, just things that logically a blood alcohol test, they would have known he was drunk out of his mind. Okay. And they would have known that the other guy driving wasn't drunk, you know, the fact that everybody sees him drink at the party and lets him, you know, including his sister, and they still, like, you know, try to take me home. I'm like, does anybody, you know, have any sense of, you know, proper responsibility here? Nobody.
Never go to Rosa Park.
Yeah, it just, I mean, the key was, at least for the writers in this game, to make you, as the player, realize that you were the guy who, you know, A, caused the accident, B, tried to blame it on the other guy. And that's how you get out of the game, sort of, to speak. So, but up until that point, that, like I said, 3.8 chapters, I really liked what was going on. It was just the ending was kind of like put a little damper on it. I'd have to give it 8.5.
Okay. The game had a lot of interesting mechanics and puzzles at the start, and then I think around the third chapter, once you started to go outside and they added in all the walking stuff, it just kind of was like, kind of felt like they kind of ran out of ideas and how to continue their like 80s retro puzzles and stuff. And they're just like, here, you have to go and walk and find the cassette tapes and find the generators and everything. And it kind of just took out all the suspense from the game that the previous chapters had built up. Because the first chapter, you're like, oh, crud, it's a horror game. And the second chapter, you're like, it's aliens and space orbs. And then the third, you're like, are you launching nuclear missiles and trying to blow stuff up? And then the fourth chapter, it's like, yeah, we're going to go and tell you everything that you've just been doing has been, like, just your imagination. And you've been watching some weird horror tape that's the only tape that they have at the hospital that you're in. So it's been giving you weird dreams. With Franco, I agree with Franco and that the last little bit of the game just kind of ruined it a little bit. I enjoyed the first big chunk of the game. That being said, I'd give it like 8 out of 10.
All right. One thing before I start, I do want to bring up during the menu screen. When you first start the game, you have a like VHS cassette tape cover. It's the hard plastic clamshell cover. And it says Stories Untold on it. And after you finish chapter 4, that changes to a generic blank VHS tape that has the hospital name and like your name and like the session like name. So basically saying that you've been in the hospital all this time and it's really just this has really just been you going through like your guilt and admitting to what you did. I agree with what everyone has said. I feel like the game started out strong. And it had a really interesting game mechanics and started out strong, had really great game mechanics, had great puzzles, had just really immersive aspects to the game and everything. And then near the end of chapter three is where it just kind of felt like it started to fall apart a bit. And it's where, right where you had to go outside, I felt, is where it started to kind of lose its steam. Mm-hmm. Because you were doing something out of the norm of what the game has set up itself to be. And then as you progressed, it was just like, kind of just went downhill from there.
Yeah.
And it's sad though, because like I had so much fun. And as I was starting chapter three and kind of getting into it, and I'm like, this is really great. Like, I am having so much fun right now. Like, yeah, this could honestly be a 10 out of 10 game for me. Because up until now, it's just been great. Like, the graphics have been amazing. I'm really liking like the film grain effect, the whole like 80s aesthetic to just everything in here, just the music and just the mix of the old school gameplay with the modern day graphics and interaction and everything. And it was just really kind of like, I was really starting to get into it. And you know, the other thing too is like, I really don't enjoy like horror games or horror movies or anything. And like reading and looking at the game, it kind of had that horror aspect to it. But with this, it was more of like a suspense thriller type of thing where like I could really kind of get into this and really enjoy myself. And that was kind of a relief on my end too, where I was like, okay, so I can really kind of sink my teeth into this a little and just enjoy myself. At that point, but then it's just chapter four happened, and it was just, what is going on here? And like I said before, it was just, again, if we could have just gotten something different other than someone drinking too much and getting into a car crash and then them dealing with the guilt and everything, it was just like, maybe like if it had to have been a tragedy, like just the loss of mm-hmm. their child, or like, God forbid, but like, you know, or just like using that as the piece of like dealing with the guilt or like the loss of something, if it had to be that they were going for, or, you know, just open it up and be a Twilight Zone type of thing altogether and not have them interact, or have them be all together but have it actually be aliens, which would be so much more interesting than what we got. But yeah, it's like I said, it would have been a 10 if it kind of kept going on along with like the alien aspect and everything. But you know, it's like I started to have to knock it down points, and then it was like, then it started to be a 9, and then, you know, again, no dogs or mentions of any dogs and things. Like, I got to agree with a lot of people here too. And I'd give it an 8, but I still like really did enjoy myself with this. So I think I'd have to go with Franco and give it an 8.5 on this.
Cool. You want me to read Madeline's?
I can read Madeline's.
Okay.
So she did leave her comment. She couldn't be with us because I think she had a game night to attend. Her thoughts was, it was actually fun reaching way back into my past to use DOS systems, outdated lab equipment and microfiche. I wanted to stay in the hallucinations rather than face reality, just like James. The medical team doing interrogations for the police is the only thing I took points off for. We don't get paid for doing their jobs for them. I gave it an 8 out of 10. So that has been that. If you want more game chat, just go and listen to another episode. I don't feel like reading all of that.
Bravo.
Just go to thegamechat.net and you can find all our links and emails and stuff on there. So
that's a subtle hint for Steph to pre-record it, that trailer.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, it's just too much to read every week. But I will read this, though. For next week, which is June 25th, we will be chatting about Lamplight City from, I'm probably going to butcher this, but Grundislav Games, published by Application Systems, Heidelberg, which is available for PC and Mac, which came out last year. For police detective turned private investigator Miles Fordham, Lamplight City's shadowy corners are just a part of the territory, but for his former partner constantly speaking to him from beyond the grave, his grip on sanity is slowly loosening. Can Miles find justice for his clients and track down his partner's killer before his entire world comes apart? Lamplight City is a detective adventure set in an alternate steampunkish Victorian past. And also, one of our former founding chatters, Joe Monzo, is, I believe, a couple voices in this game. So
really?
Yes.
So, I think you mentioned that, and I totally disconnected.
Yes. So
probably like minor characters.
He's at least one character in this game, but I think he played. I think he was at least two, but I could be wrong. So there's that. So until next Tuesday, we'll be back with hopefully a full crew, and talking about Lamplight City. So, bye.
Bye.
Bye.